Session number 26983.
Reg Biffin, Reel 3. So, after Folkestone, you went on to Limston. And what were you doing there?
After our... we left Dover, I expect, in end of November, winter. Air activity had gone off, but, I mean, I think we were credited to about 60 planes there. We shot down a lot of planes. Yeah. We had a good outing there.
And if you hit one, would you see it come down?
Yeah.
And it come down fairly close, would it?
Yeah, because it was mostly, it wasn't there. It wasn't much long angle predictor stuff. It was nearly all 109s doing dive bombing and Stukas. Yeah, it was nearly all open sights, short fuse stuff, you know.
And when one crashed, what would happen there? Did someone go out in the
channel? Nearly all went out in the channel, yeah. Right. And of course, if we thought we were doing Hawkinge mine, it was night, you know, activity, and they were losing. They say they lost a whole squadron of boat and poles. And we... I remember we nearly shot one of theirs. There was a plane come hedge up and in from the channel, and he looked like a Messerschmitt 109, and we just restrained as he come up over, stopped, and it was a Spitfire with he'd lost part of his wing, and he had a square end wing instead of the pointed, you know. And we were just going to waff him one, and we realised, and he hit. And, well, I was at Hawkinge not long ago, and they still got the control tower there of the relic of the war. And funny enough, they got a gun, what could be one of our guns, they've got that in the control tower.
Right. And could you see the control tower?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, we looked down on the... We could see the planes taken off, and
oh, you were looking down on
right on it, right on it. We could do it near the elevation too, and we'd be firing over the top of there. Yeah, when the Sukas come in, we put a barrage over the top that they had to dive, that they had to dive through, you know. And I was there. This is a bit the matter, bit of them. And I said, "Who's Marjorie?" "Cool." I said, "Look," I said. I still had a lovely view up right up there, over the tops of houses now. But I said, "You can see at the top of the field, that's where we were." And a voice said, "Excuse me, sir, did you say you were up there?" I said, "Yeah, what?" I said, "What?" I said, "40, yeah, 90, yeah." He said, "Where are you?" He said, "I was down here." He was the old RAF man looking at, you know. And he said, "It rained, didn't it?" "Cool." I said, "Yeah, it tipped down some nights." "Yeah," he said. "And do you know what? Our this and that's let all the rain in." I said, and he said, "You know why?" "Well," I said, "I expect if we was at elevation 3, you had a bits of odd shrapnel." He said, "Our this and that's was full of holes." And he said, "You did a good job," but he said, "it didn't half let the rain in." That was all. That's not many years ago. Wasn't it lovely? Yeah.
So you would actually see the Spitfires taking off, say, in the morning?
Yeah, nearly, yeah, wasn't many Spitfires, there was nearly Hurricanes.
Hurricanes,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they just take off.
Fewer come back.
Oh, yeah, they didn't all come back, no. Because, I mean, they were in action every hour of daylight. Yeah, oh, aye. Yeah. Continuous. I mean, we were in bad straits, mine. Yeah.
So it was a long, hard autumn, really,
there, wasn't it? Summer, from August, September, October, yeah. November.
Yeah.
And then sudden move, pack your bags, you're out. And just like that, and that was your kit bag picked up, and that was it. And we'd lived rough there with old Cookie the cook, and we never lived down in the barrack. We lived on the guns the whole time we were there.
And must have seemed like home. Quite sorry to leave it, really, in a way. I mean, that's where you were.
Well, we all agreed that we looked like when we got our heads down, sleeping, that is, where we had, we were like a row of corpses, because we used to get in and this galvanized dugout and all lie in long rows. Yeah.
So where to from there?
We went back to Limpston, under canvas again, and got back in trim, tidy in that, and it came December come, we had Christmas leave. No, just ordinary leave for Christmas, 4 days back. Then we suddenly got down to Plymouth.
You said Plymouth after Christmas.
Yeah, by truck. Taken down to Plymouth, to the Vitlin place, and we got all fitted out. No, we didn't. No, that's wrong. We didn't. We got moved out, and we went down to Portsmouth. Portsmouth Royal Marine Depot full. We were billeted in a girls' school. And that was always emphasized. And the girls were all moved out before we were billeted there.
Do you remember the name of the school?
No, I can't. I know the name of the pub across the road.
Yeah.
But anyhow, from there we were into Plymouth every day, and we were being fitted out with tropical kit.
Right, Portsmouth.
Yeah.
What was your tropical kit then?
Shorts, bush shirts, pith helmet.
Where did you think you might be going?
No idea at all. No idea at all.
Where were you afraid of going? Any places you
didn't even know the war was happening in a way. You know, every day was on its own. We had one leave there, and that was for Christmas. We had to report back, and then we hadn't had a leave for a long time. We had about 4 days. And we had a report back the day after Boxing Day. And as soon as we pack your bags down to the station. And from there we went from it. Seemed to be ever more. I don't know. How we ever cope with all of it. Rough trains, you know. But and then it was all out. We was up at Greenock.
Oh, yeah. Still not knowing where you were
going. And then from there, we joined a converted cold storage ship that had been converted urgently to troop ship. I think it's called the Canterbury, I don't know. But it was out in Channel at Greenock, snowing, and we had to go out there in a tender.
What was the scene like at Greenock? Were there lots of people there?
Oh, yeah, we were Greenock, that is, you know, and it was, well, it was a blizzard blowing, and we had to go out there with food. Suddenly you were in ordinary khaki drill, but you had in your pack you had tropical kit, and we had to go out to this ship, freezing. The thing had never been hardly converted, but from cold storage, that's what he was. He was shipping meat from New Zealand to England. This was urgent, so we went on there, and off we left. We got nearly the Freetown, I thought we were going to. That's a big naval base on East Africa, West Africa. Got nearly there, and there was a big scare. We went back nearly to Newfoundland.
You were in a convoy, were you?
We broke away from the convoy then. Then ended back at Freetown again. Didn't go ashore. And a few days there, pushed on, went into Cape Town. Didn't go ashore there. And then we got to Durban. Everybody off.
Just before you carry on, what were conditions like on board?
Awful.
Really?
I didn't go below. I, even the rain or shine, me and three others, we slept on deck all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Why was it?
Oh, it was only hammocks down there, and you were packed like sardines. And if you did, you wouldn't have a chance down there, you know. But the only thing was, they scrubbed the decks at 5 o'clock in the morning. And if you didn't get up, they didn't worry. They put the hose pipe on you. But then, yeah, that's what we did. And a bit of card playing and gambling in between mine. For 8 pence and pennies. And then we left Cape Town, Durban. And then that's when we went into paradise. Really? We went into a South African army camp. Yes, it was paradise. It was
Why
perfect.
Was that, tell me?
Oh, everything was perfect. The food was beyond belief. The accommodation was beyond belief. Everything was lovely. And a day trip into Durban. Everybody agreed it was paradise. But I think we, for some reason, shipping troubles, I think we had nearly 2 weeks there. And then it was everybody out in pack, down to the docks, and you never seen. It got in the paper late, there was nearly a mutiny. I still got the cut in there. And said, oh, God.
At
Durban, we on this ship, and it was, he'd been cold. There was coal dust everywhere, and it was beyond belief. But
they'd had coal in it.
It was coal. Yeah, it wasn't our ship. Another one, you know.
Oh, another one.
And anyhow, we were marched off, and law and order. You know, well, such you know that, and we went back on. They had washed it down a bit, but it was horrific, and conditions were bad on there. And then we went all up the coast. Nobody knew what we were going or what. Oh, there was another little episode before we did leave. The South African colour sergeant and the sergeant came on board, and what he came on board was that they didn't have any cutlery left at the army depot. And it was lovely cutlery. And we all had about two sets each. And we had to march up on deck. He had a blanket, four of his men. We had to march up, throwing their cutlery back in. I remember it now. And he just stood back, touched his hat, thank you, Jeff. He wanted his cutlery back.
Knew who'd had it.
Well, they knew who had it, yeah. But anyway, we wandered up. We went, didn't go right into Madagascar. We went in, had a look. No, they changed their mind. That wasn't for us. So then we went into Alexandra.
Oh, yeah.
Under canvas mine in the desert.
Yeah.
They had no accommodation. It was...
It was a big camp there, wasn't it?
Big camp. Right on the canal. But they had permanent, but they wasn't finished by no means, so we were under canvas. Nice tents, double tropical tents, but you had to go right across a lot of sand to get to the tent for your grub, food. And if you could get back with it, the shitehawks pinching it off your plates, you were lucky. And I think we only had about a fortnight there. We never got out anywhere. And pack your bags. And we were down to the other side of Egypt, dock. Onto another dump of a ship. I would say we were, as a nation, we were in a bad way, mine. Bad way. Another ship that had been brought out from the wreckage yard, I think. It says Canterbury. Yeah.
That was the Canterbury, wasn't it?
That's the Canterbury, I think that's what it was. Anyhow, we set off. In convoy from there, nobody knew then that the secret went out we were going to Crete,
right.
Or Greece.
Greece.
Then they've abandoned in Greece. We're going to Crete now. And then we broke down in the Mediterranean, full of hostiles. And we broke down, so the rest of the convoy and destroyers, bye-bye. Anyhow, we had everything in our lot, the Royal Naval Base Organization. We had naval blokes, and they mended the engine.
Oh,
really? Aye. And I think we were 2 days drifting. And And the men that we got on, but the convoy caught a packet, whereas we went into Ceuta untouched.
Right, and you landed at Ceuta Bay.
Yeah.
So tell me about coming into Ceuta Bay and what you saw. And
well, only boys. They said, this is Ceuta. We're on going into Crete. Only what our officers told us. And it's quite a spectacular harbour, Ceuta. You have the Akateria Heights on the left and White Mountains on your left, Akateria on your right, and a natural harbour. But sunk right in the middle, was a cruiser. Where he'd been torpedoed. So, well, this is a good start, you know. And this is a funny thing, how small the world is. Anyhow, we tied up and everybody, full packs, rifle, everything, ashore, you know, up the side of the dock. When stepping out on a dock, you had to go right up ladder because the tide was out. And I know I was halfway up the ladder, and in front of me was Gilly, who I worked with at Minehead. Because we both joined up in the same, ended up together. He was up in front of me. And the Stukas came over. And that's the last I saw of Gilly. I was going up, and poor Gilly was coming down free fall, rifle and all that. He was hit. So he must have hit the deck down below with an awful bump. But we went up, and then I saw then my first and only plane that belonged to us. That's the only plane I saw.
Yeah. And what sort of plane was that?
We were being attacked by Stukas and 109s and 110s, all modern planes. And it was a Gladiator. They ignored him. He did his best, and they just calmly shot him down when they'd finish. A Gladiator, twin biplane, against one, sad one. And the only cover we had was twin quick firing on the head of the harbour master's hut up the end. And he was brave blokes, they gave us what they could. Yeah. But that's where we went. So, and then first night ashore, it rained. First night in Crete, it didn't.
So when you landed at Ceuta Bay, then did they march you straight on?
Oh yes, was a precise unit. Yeah. Yeah.
And where did they march you to?
Up to the olive groves, because it started to rain. Only rain I've ever seen in Crete, and it rained all night. And
so what did you see in the morning? You were under the olive groves.
Nothing, just a desolation. That was nobody else. Only, and then our guns and that. We got reunited with our stuff. And I think probably main thing was our cook. Either cook got the tea going, a cup of tea, and orders come. Half of us went one way, we went another. We went out onto the Akateria Peninsula. I mean, we didn't know, we didn't mean a thing to us, you know.
Which battery were you?
A battery, aye. We split in two parts. The taxes went, well, one, we went up on the Akateria. Yeah. And that looked straight down on Ceuta. And the Akateria came up behind us out onto the Adriatic, and Greece had gone, you see. So the Adriatic was in full flow of hostile aircraft, but that was the other side of the peninsula. We were dug in, and the guns were dumped there.
And did you have to sort of set them up and
work out a site? It was never ending work. We had two guns there.
And who was organising this?
Our same sergeant and officer. And so we had a level, it's a rocky peninsula. We had to set out a place and set the guns up, and we had a clear view of Ceuta. And And after he'd done all that, they'd think about, well, there was nowhere to sleep on Erath, and the cookie, they'd try and get some food going. And immediately we were in action, you know.
Really? Mm. So how long did that take to get the guns set up? Quite a while.
Day, a couple of days maybe. You mean there was no night or day. From the time you landed it in Crete to the finish, there was no night or day. It was just continuous. But we did get them set up, and we had to find a stack our kit, our rifles, and we had ammunition, guns, no, all had to be done. You were working incessantly, you know. And of course, as soon as we were set up, we were in action because Ceuta was under continuous attack. And I know that ship that we had, there was a ammunition ship, and we had to try and all we could do was affix fuse and put a layer over the top of the dive bombers. Yeah. All you could do was fire on a fixed range angle and keep firing as fast as you could for them to go through.
So this was an ammunition ship coming into Ceuta
Bay. It was in tied up at Ceuta trying to unload, right. Vital. And that was all right. And then before we knew it, of course, we were sheltering with the Akateria, but the 110s came in from Greece. They had Greece in, came in over the Adriatic, low-flying, and headshot over the top of the Akateria and caught us cold on the back.
Right. So you hadn't expected those the first
time? Well, couldn't take care of everything, but, you know, but they came in the back. We were dealing with their opposite numbers there. And, we survived that and kept on. And then just, day and night, and all the urine and all that, all our kit bags went up in flames. That was all gone.
Really? What was that from
hostiles? Yeah, you know, planes.
So you'd lost all your personal stuff?
Every personal was...
And your spare clothes and...
Everything. All we have was what... We still have shorts. Goodness. Shorts and shirt and your ammunition, your rifle. And I'd even lost my water bottle. I remember that. That was the sad part. But that was all we were left with. And Cookie had nothing to cook, so there was nothing. And we're there. So we were nearly out of ammunition. Then thing was, pull out of there. Going to. But this early in the morning, we looked out, looking towards Malamy. And we saw the invasion start, all the paratroop. And it was, you know, we still had a bit there. We were still far. And then we saw there, and the sky was full of planes and parachutes. Yeah, absolutely full.
So you must have been really disheartened.
But no, I mean, yeah. I was just wondered how could it all happen. You know, I mean, the world never seen it. You see mine. They'd never seen an air invasion. None of our people knew. You know, the sky was full of, you could see in the full of parachutes, gliders. And here we are, we had no planes at all. And we were down to our last few boxes of ammunition. And then we had order, pack up, we got up, pull forward. And we went forward then towards where they'd landed. And set up our gun there in the olive groves. Still no food or drink, mine, you know, no. And I don't think we had about a box of ammunition, about 8 rounds left, I think. And there come, we'd left. And then the order, and the Aussies started coming through us. And we knew the end was, because they were defeated men coming through, you know. That's who was coming, that's who we covered to come through, the Aussies. And then we had orders to destroy the gun and pull back. And
how did you destroy the gun?
I had a hand in that. I had to elevate the gun, and Sergeant Harwood shoved one up the spout, and close the breech. Then I had to lower the elevation, and they shut the other one down the front. And then I had to get him down as low as he would, pointing the way where the towards the enemy. Not that it would go anywhere, but and we had to collect all lanyards and tied it on the firing handle. And I fell back with Sergeant Harwood. That's the last I saw him, anyhow. And we pulled the handle, and our lovely gun went up with a big bang. All gone. And all we had was what we stood up in.
And what happened to Sergeant Harwood?
Don't know. Right. Never saw him again.
Right. Never heard of him since.
He got home, but I understand he was far from a broken man, but he was a brilliant Marine. Mm. Bravest man I ever seen.
Mm. Yeah.
That's right, and we had then...
Just before we go on, had you had any casualties while you were...
Oh, yes, yeah.
Tell me about that. Did the gun got hit, did it? Or?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to them. That was it. Mm. There was no... when we were that criteria, my layer, I knew, he shouted to me, I've been hit. He was covered in blood. And he'd had his part of his right ear blown off, a near miss, you know. But I didn't know he'd been hit farther down. I never saw him again.
Yeah. And they would be taken away
first aid? First aid. They were just... Well, I never saw any... There was no first aid. No, you were... That, you know, and no food either.
So there you are. You've got no food, no equipment.
Well, we had our rifle and a few rounds of ammunition. Yeah. We destroyed the gun.
Yeah.
And fall back.
Right. So who was in charge at this moment?
The only man I knew then was Sergeant Harwood, mm-hmm. who we destroyed the gun, mm. and then I was on my own. More or less, you know.
Yeah.
And
any others of your team with you?
I don't think I saw anybody after that. I banded up with another unit, and we
another Marine unit.
Well, they're mixed all that, because nobody had ammunition, and so we fell back to Suda Bay, and continuously under air attack, and orders was, the officer there was over the White Mountains, so we had to go over the White Mountains. We didn't know, I know now, but I didn't know where that was, but it was the Adriatic there. The other side of the White Mountains was the Mediterranean, and the other side of the Mediterranean was Cairo, Egypt.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.